Blog Talk Radio.
Foolish had slumbered and slept, they began to cry with a loud voice, open the gate, open the gate. But they prayed, Lord, but their prayer was too late. Church, don't be like the rich man, sinner man. That you pray too late to enter. You see, they heard, the foolish heard Jesus, but they wouldn't heed the calling.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am glad you have joined us today. It is a great day to be in the house of God and to be a child of God. It's a great day to go into the Word of God. We thank God for you. We thank God for you who are listening over the internet, those of you who are listening by phone. We pray God's blessing upon you. Of course, our call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. It's area code 845-241-9839. I want to tell you a little bit about First Baptist. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our normal working hours would have been from Sunday starting at 9:30 with Sunday school, praise and worship at 9:45, and of course our morning service starts at 11 o'clock. But because of the pandemic, we're not able to go into the building. We are worshiping through our Facebook page. We invite you to go there. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Facebook page, like the page, and then share that page so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. Go there. You will find our Sunday morning service, 10 a.m., every Sunday morning, 10 a.m., on our Facebook page. You'll also find the link every Tuesday for the Bible study, which you're listening to now. That will be on our Facebook page as well, along with other things that we have. Go and look at the Facebook page. Scroll down. Take your time and look at the First Baptist of Holly Spring Facebook page. You can be a supporter of First Baptist of Holly Spring. We have a Cash App. That Cash App is FBCHS, FBCHS, that's First Baptist Church, Holly Spring. That's the Cash App. And of course, with Cash App, you put the dollar sign before the letters FBCHS, and you can be a supporter of First Baptist right now. You can support right now as we're speaking. So we thank God for that. We thank God for all of you who have tuned in tonight to be a part of this Bible study. We send, of course, our condolences out to Deaconess Fatim Rainey, who lost her brother on today. We pray God's blessing upon her and her family. We know that it is a difficult time right now, and we pray that they will continue to be strong and go forward and do the things that they would have to do. There are so many people who are hurting right now, so many people who are going through right now, so many people who find themselves in a position that they never thought they would be in. We have to be prayerful because it's their day today. It could be our day tomorrow. So we must be prayerful. We must have the sympathy and the empathy to care for those particularly going through at this time. We pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are in the rest home, those whose names I don't even know. We pray God's blessing that a healing will come your way, that you will be healed in mind and body and in spirit, that you will be able to continue to do what the Lord has planned for you to do. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another Bible study. We thank you for all of those who are on the line right now. We ask God that as we go forward with this Bible study, that it be seed sown in good soil, that long after this Bible study is over, it will bear good fruit. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We want to remind you that all the Bible studies and sermons that we do on our Facebook page are archived. That means you can go back to the Facebook page at any time, any part of the page, and you can click on that particular item, and you can hear that service on Sunday morning. You can hear services from three or four Sundays ago, as well as the one from last Sunday. You can also hear our Bible studies. You can go back and listen to all the different Bible studies we've had over the last few months. All of those programs and services are archived. You can go back at any time and listen to them. Our study tonight comes from the book of Zechariah. We do have a scripture in Haggai as well. I want you to get your Bibles and turn to the book of Haggai, the second chapter and the 23rd verse. And then our lesson will come from Zechariah, the fourth chapter, 1 through 14. That's Haggai, second chapter, 23rd verse. And Zechariah 4, 1 through 14. God's promises. The prophet Zechariah, and a priest who was a contemporary of the prophet Haggai, Zechariah was born in Babylonia during the exile period and was one of the estimated 50,000 exiles who returned to Judea under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua the priest in 538 BC. During the long span of his ministry to God's people, Zechariah's main purpose was to encourage the people in their work to build the temple and continually remind them of God's promise that he would take care of them and bless them if they would return to him. Apparently, some of the Israelites chose not to leave Babylon at the end of the 70-year exile. But the Bible says that everyone whose heart God had moved prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. They returned with joy and with purpose, bringing with them gifts of livestock and gold and silver bestowed upon them by the people of Babylonia. After settling themselves in their towns, the people came together to begin the joyful but daunting task of rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed some 70 years earlier. Their first step was to rebuild the altar so they could establish or reestablish the offering and sacrifice that was required of God's people. The people then began to give offerings to pay for the material and the labor needed to build the temple's foundation. It took approximately 2 years after arriving in Judea. God's people finally finished the building of the foundation of the temple. The people sang and they praised. They praised God, and it was accompanied by priests and Levites. They shouted and they wept with joy, and the celebration was so loud it could be heard from far away. Unfortunately, Zerubbabel and the builders soon faced opposition from the enemies. Most of those inhabitants were near in Samaria. These enemies purposely set out to discourage God's people from rebuilding the temple, even going as far as to hire people to work against them. Sadly, we find this in the church today. There are many people who will go out of their way to make sure that the work in the church is not done. They will even go so far as to join with other forces to make sure that the work is not done. This is not something that is new. We find this here in the book of Zechariah. We find that there were people who wanted to work against the people who wanted to rebuild the temple of God. Sadly, this rebuilding of the temple was halted, And they got their way for 17 years. There was no work on the temple. All work on rebuilding the temple had been halted for 17 years. And God's people had lost hope of ever finishing what they had started. But then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. God instructed them to tell Zerubbabel that he would literally move heaven and earth to accomplish his plan. God's plan was not only that the temple would be rebuilt, but that Zerubbabel would be honored. God said that he would make Zerubbabel like a signet ring on his finger. In biblical terms, a signet ring was used as one signature, and it symbolized a pledge, a guarantee or payment of fullness in one's promise. God was promising to not only honor Zerubbabel, but he also was telling his people that he would fulfill his promise to them. It was time for the people to once again return to him and return to the work that he had called them out to do. Along with the promises given to Zerubbabel through the prophet Haggai, God also gave Zechariah a vision concerning the completion of the temple. In chapter 4, 1 through 3, Zechariah saw an angel who showed him a golden candlestand, a lampstand, with two olive trees, one on either side. The trees represented the office of priest and king. Joshua, the high priest, remember we talked about Joshua in an earlier Bible study. This is not the same Joshua that was under Moses. This was the Joshua who was the priest. So we got two Joshuas in the Bible. We got the Joshua who was under Moses, who led the children into Israel. And then don't forget, later on, there was another Joshua who was a priest under Zerubbabel. So those olive trees represented the offices, the priest and the king. Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the leader of God's people, and a descendant of the royal house of David, were to lead God's people forward to completing the temple. However, neither the people nor the leaders were going to be able to accomplish anything on their own. In verse 6, the Lord said, "It's not by my force, not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of heaven." So when you look at that last verse of Haggai, that 23rd verse of Haggai in that second chapter, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel. Listen, the Lord, listen, said the Lord, and will take thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." God then reminded his people that Zerubbabel had already laid the foundation for the temple. He promised that he would use Zerubbabel to finally complete the rebuilding, and that this was done with everyone would know that God had established his great deed. Some people apparently thought that rebuilding the temple wasn't worth it, or what they had already done was enough. You'll always find people who are ready to settle for mediocrity. People who want to say, "Well, we've done enough, let's just stop here." When God has much more for you to do, has a lot further for you to go. And a lot of people, a lot of times, we will settle for mediocrity. We'll settle for just a little bit when God wants to give us another. God said that no one should discount already been done. Even though it seemed to be a small beginning, God was going to bring it to a glorious conclusion. And when God accomplished his plan, everyone would be able to rejoice. And so this is what our lesson is about. Zerubbabel asked for clarification about the olive tree and the branches he saw in his vision. And so as we go to that verse, these are some pretty lengthy verses, and I may take two or three of them at a time. Let's go to Zechariah, 4th chapter, verse 1. I'm going to do 1, 2, and 3. I want to talk about those three. Zechariah 4 and 1. "And the angel that talked with me came again and woke me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and this and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of the bowl. This form of the scripture is part of a vision. Remember, this is a vision that is sandwiched between two oracles addressed to Zerubbabel. God spoke to Zechariah to speak to Zerubbabel. So you got to understand, these are visions that God is giving the prophet to give to the king. This is how prophecy worked in those days. God would speak to the prophet, and the prophet would talk to the king. And together, those two were able to bring the people where God wanted them to be. So this form of this chapter is a vision that is sandwiched between two oracles that are addressed to Zerubbabel, thus connecting the book of Zechariah with the closing of the book of Haggai. It was typical for God to speak to his prophet via dreams and via visions. Therefore, this form fits God's pattern. The dreamer is also expected to make sense of the signs and the symbols in the dream. In this case, the question asked in the dream, what seest thou? And when he asked, what seest thou, he was not asking him, what did he see with his physical sight? He was asking Zechariah, what do you see spiritually in your mind? When you look at this temple, when you look at the greatness of what you have done and the greatness of what God has been allowed to allow you to do, what do you see, Zechariah? And Zechariah begins to tell him metaphorically what he sees as he is standing there. The dream includes a candlestick, a bowl, seven lamps, seven pipes, and seven lamps. There are also two olive trees beside the bowl on either side. What do you see? And what does it mean? Because the central question in the opening of this chapter is, what do you see? So many times, we are people of God. We only use our physical vision, and we don't use the spiritual vision that God has given us. And as you know, your eyes can play tricks on you. If you've ever been to a magic show, or if you've ever seen an illusionist, he can do things that will trick your eye. I had the privilege of seeing David Blaine years and years ago, great magician, and he made a bus, a 54-passenger bus, disappear. Now, obviously, he didn't make a bus disappear. It was a trick for the eye. So a lot of times we use our eyes, we don't fully see a lot of things. God is asking this prophet, what do you see with your spiritual eye? And then verse 6, 7, it says, Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, a great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. While Zerubbabel was a literal person, and his prophecy spoke to a contemporary situation, this is also about God and God's plan. The temple was going to be rebuilt, period. Even though Zerubbabel was in the picture, the job was not only for him. In relativity, the job wasn't complete until much later in history. But God was making clear that this would be done by his power and by his might. If not in this generation, in another generation. But the temple will be built. So God speaks to this man. And while the Lord never directly answers what each figure in the vision represents, he gives the prophet a broader understanding of what is going on. God was with Zerubbabel literally, figuratively, and symbolically. And God's spirit would ultimately be the driving force behind the task at hand. Human effort is never enough. And though there were mountains that Zerubbabel had to face, God, by his spirit, was going to symbolically turn them into plains. We can expect the same thing with the mountains in our lives. When we have God's permission, when we're doing God's work, it doesn't matter how insurmountable the odds may be, or how high the mountains may be, or how low the valley may be. When we have God's blessing, then we are assured by the promises of God that we will do what God has expected and asked for us to do. This is a very important scripture. This is a very important lesson for the house of God, because oftentimes we feel like we must get a lot of things done in our time. Well, beloved, a lot of things will be done in our time, and then there are a lot of things that will be done in the years that will come. And we can't worry about those who will come after us. All we can do is do what we're supposed to do while we're here. And then when they come, they will be tasked to do even more. Maybe our job is just to build a foundation. Maybe our job is just to do a certain thing. But God's plan will not be thwarted, whether it be done in this generation or in another. God's plan will be done. And that's just the way it is. That's what he was trying to get over to this leader, Zerubbabel. He wanted him to understand that, yes, there is work for you to be done. Yes, there have been 17 years that the people have been idle. 17 years that they did not work on this temple. 17 years that they forgot about the fact that I had made them a promise that if they rebuild this temple, I would be with them. But now it's time to get back to work. Don't worry about the mountains that you face. Don't worry about the time constraint that you have. Some of you are getting old, and I know you won't be around for a long time, but don't worry about that. You just do what I asked you to do. The temple will be built. So he says in that 8th verse, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you." The Lord explains to Zerubbabel that he would finish the restoration of the temple, would drive the critics to silence, so they would know that God had sent them and that God's plan was in action. This was most important for them to understand. The mere beginning of this project, prophecy would serve as a sign of God being with the people of God. As the passage continues, we see that it was the work of the king to lay the foundation. God's word was spoken in prophecy and in a type of foundation that has been laid. Embarking on the restoration project was as important as finishing it. We have God's word with us today. We have the foundation. The foundation has already been laid for us. All we have to do is complete the work that Jesus set out for us to do. If we complete that work, then we will find ourselves in a better situation, because that situation will give us the encouragement to continue and give us the energy to face insurmountable odds as we go. Verse 10, "For who have despised the day of small things? They shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel." With those seven, those are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. "Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves?" The Lord now begins to answer Zechariah's questions about what the symbols in the vision represent. While the text provides answers to Zechariah's questions, scholars debate about the meaning of these symbols. For instance, the eye of the Lord symbolizes God's worldwide scrutiny, the fact that nothing is hidden from him. When we hear of an eye of the Lord, it means that God has a way of seeing all and knowing all. When he talks about the candlesticks, he's talking about the church itself. For the church is to be a candlestick. It is to be a light into a dark world. So the church is the candlestick. The olive trees are the, as I said before, the priests and the prophets in the church of God. And of course, the olives were always crushed. Fresh olives were crushed for anointing. Fresh olives were crushed for the use in the temple, in the house of God. Not only that, but we found out, and I guess they knew it all along, that olive oil is good for a lot of things. You would be surprised what you can do with olive oil. There was an article I read not too long ago, 100 uses for olive oil. Olive oil was a very precious commodity in those days, and it's very high priced even today because it has so many factors to it. So whenever you see olive trees, you talk about olive, you're talking about the anointing, you're talking about the furnishing, the healing. Olive oil was used for healing. It was used for anointing. It was used for cooking. It was used for a myriad of things. 13th verse. What God is saying, in any event, the practical application here is that Zerubbabel will be given the power to finish the temple. So in that 13th and 14th verse, and he answered me and said, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Here we find more symbolism. The olives and accompanying the olive oil represents God's anointing or blessing of the project and his chosen vessel to do the work. The two oil supplying branches represents two who were anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. In this passage, Joshua and Zerubbabel, the candlestick and the church and the temple, would represent Israel as a light to the nations of the world so that all people can see the glory of God and come running crying, "What must I do to be saved?" This is what those symbols mean. It is a time for us to understand that God is calling us to complete the work that he has assigned us to do. And many of us have started the work, but we have not completed the work. God promised the people of Israel that he would restore them to their land, but he also instructed them to rebuild his temple. He did not leave them to their own devices. He provided favor, he provided materials, and the power of the Spirit to enable them to obey what he asked. We often resist obeying God because what he is asking seems too difficult or demanding. Yet when we choose to obey, he will bless us. Let me read that again. We often resist obeying God because what he is asking us to do is too difficult, or we think it's too difficult, or it's too demanding. Yet when we choose to obey him, he will bless us. Obedience to God brings great reward. One way to learn to be obedient is to read his word on a regular basis. God's word contains everything you need to know about how to treat others, how to handle yourself, how to handle your money, and how to handle your friends, how to handle your employees, your parents, and your spouse. When we read God's word to apply it to our lives, we please the Lord and we pronounce blessings and God's promises upon ourselves. This we can do. This we should do. After 70 years of being captive by the Babylonians, God's people were once again in the promised land. They were once again there to make sure that they completed the work that they had started so many years ago. You remember the temple that David built, or that Solomon built. You remember Solomon's temple, all of the splendor of the temple, and how great it was in its day, and how it stood so majestically as a symbol to God and a symbol of worship and praise to him. And after the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, they tore down that temple. They burned the temple. They sacked the temple. They took all of the furnishings out of the temple. You know the story of how they used the temple, artifacts of the temple, to have Nebuchadnezzar had parties and had feasts with those things in the temple. But after 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar is dead. His sons are dead. After 70 years, the king, now Cyrus of Babylon, has released those people, thousands of them, to come back to Jerusalem, to rebuild their temple, to rebuild their society, to rebuild their homes, to rebuild their families. And this they were going to do not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. Beloved, if we're ever going to make it, if we're ever going to be the people that God has asked us to be, it won't be by might, it won't be by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. Yes, we look around the length and breadth of this country, and we brag about our might. We brag about our military prowess. We brag about how many ships and how many planes and how many bombs and how many things we got to destroy things. We talk about our power. We talk about economic power. We talk about political power. We talk about power like it's a drug, and people are strung out on power. Politicians are loving power. They drink glasses of power every day. But what God is saying, it won't be by your armies, it won't be by your political power or your economical power. If we're ever going to get out of the thing that we're in right now in these here United States, it's not going to be by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. And you know that. You know that. You know that. You know that. Even though we hear others speak in other terms, we deep down, I'm talking about the children of God, I'm talking about the household of faith, we know better. We must know better. And we must teach our children better. We must let the world know that we know better, so that we can be just like the people who would come back, pick up the work that was done. The people who started the temple, who built the temple, were dead and gone. But now it was time for them to finish the temple, to finish the work that had been started so many years ago. That's our lesson for tonight, for God promised that he would give them favor. He promised that he would give them protection. He promised that he would give them the resources that they needed. He promised that he would give them all that they required in order to finish the work that he had commanded them to do. We're going to open the phone lines now. There may be some of those of you who are on the line who would like to say something about the lesson. Maybe you have heard something on the lesson that you want to comment on, or you might want to add something to the lesson. We're going to open the lines. All lines are open. Your phones are open now, so we can hear what you're doing in the background. Amen. I just want you to know that all lines are open, so everybody can hear what you're saying at this time. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 919, last four digits, 7459. Are you on the line?
Is that you? 7459.
919. You don't have to speak. When I open the lines, it's not mandatory that you say anything, but you can just say I'm listening, and I'll go to the next caller. You don't have to speak, but I do open the line just in case there are some who would like to speak. So, area code 919-7459, would you like to speak? All right, let's move on. Area code 919, last four digits, 5716, would you like to say something?
Good afternoon, Reverend Rogers. This is Sister Bess. How are you?
Good afternoon, Sister Bess. How are you?
Good, good. I can hear you well tonight. Everything is, you know, perfect tonight as far as the, you know, Bible study here. And so I had a question, you know, that I was thinking about when you was talking about the olive oil and stuff.
Yes.
I know there's different types of olive oil. Like you have the virgin all in all? Is it a difference in the all in all? Or why some say virgin and some is just olive oil?
Yeah, olive oil comes in different consistency. In other words, some are thinner than others, depending on what you want to use it for. Olive oil can be thick or it can be very thin. Extra virgin or virgin olive oil is thin oil. Mm. That means it has been strained, I guess, to make it thinner. But olive oil is still olive oil. And it's no difference in the purpose or the use of it. It's just that it comes in various consistencies, whether you want it thick or whether you want it thin. That's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Area code 919-5257. 5257. Would you like to say something?
Good evening. Good afternoon, Pastor.
Hey, this Brother Jonah?
Yes.
How you doing?
And I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing good. We're doing great.
It's a good lesson, and I just thought about what you were preaching about, what the Bible is about, and things like everything that's wrong with us today as a nation is probably because we are not drinking enough olive oil.
Right.
Now, if I'm correct, olive oil in this lesson represents God. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Yes, and the two candlesticks were our ministers, right?
Yes.
And so we just got to listen to our ministers, and we need to consume more of the olive oil in order to change all that is wrong with us today in this country. That's bad.
I thank you for that. I thank you so very much for that. You're absolutely right. All of that has to do with God and God's purpose for his people and for his church. We are to be a light, just like a candle. Back in the old days, they didn't have kerosene, didn't have electricity. So they had a candle. That was the light. That was, you could walk in a room and strike a match and put it on the candle so you could see. We are to be a light to the world so that we can tell the world about a God. That is our job, to light up the darkness. But you can't,
right.
You can't, walk up, people can't walk up, the world can't walk around in darkness. We need some light. And you're absolutely right. And that olive oil means the anointing of God. It means the richness and the fullness of God. For in the olive is richness and fullness. And that's what that is all about. You're absolutely right. I thank you for understanding that, because a lot of people don't see that in the lesson. They don't understand that in the lesson. Error code 919-2329. Would you like to say something?
I'm
2329? Okay, that's all right. Go right ahead. One of the things I wanted to ask, I'll go to another number, 919-2699. 2699. Would you like to say something?
Good evening. This is Janice Evanston. I'm just listening. That's very good. Very good work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. One of the things that I wanted to ask some of you, why do you think the people stopped building on the temple, stopped working on the temple? Why do you think? Now, we know that they began to build on the foundation. But why is it that we are, as a people, will settle for mediocrity, settle for less, when we know that God has more for us? What's in us to make us say, okay, that's enough, and we don't go any further? When God said go from here to New York, then we go to D.C. and say that's enough. No. You haven't done what God asked you to do. And for some reason, a lot of us, particularly in the church, we have that type of mentality. We'll only do what we want to do, or a certain amount, and then we'll stop. And why do you think we do that? Anybody want to answer that question? I just throw that out for anybody. Anybody want to answer that question?
Pastor Rogers.
Go right ahead.
This is Deacon Taylor. I'm on a different number
afternoon.
Mm-hmm. First of all, thank God for the word that has been brought forth, first of all. But a lot of people this day and time, they they like to have that authority because of their name, their family name, and they think that's going to take them all the way. That'll only take you so far, and then they might do just a little bit extra, and they think they have done everything they're supposed to do, and that's how that happens a whole lot of times. But just like in that day, from the scriptures we're reading until this day, God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He sees all. He knows all. And we have to have an understanding that we just can't take things for face value. We have to study on some things. We can't just jump up and go do something. We need to have a plan for it. We need to go and pray about it. And you know, a lot of times that don't happen, and a lot of things that we do because we don't even understand what we want to do or supposed to do because we don't put a lot of thought into it, especially on the spiritual level.
Right, right.
That's
Thank
what
you
I
for that. That's right. You're absolutely right. What about in our personal life? A few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that 95,000 students are going to be homeschooled this year. You know, if
yes,
we take that type of attitude with teaching our children this year, we're going to be in bad shape.
Yes,
like I said before, that is something that has to be looked at, because we can't do a
yes,
mediocre
sir.
Job in doing that. We have to make sure that we do the best job. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
That's what a lot of people is just now realizing, that they were not really set up to do this homeschooling thing, and a lot of people are scrambling, and they're trying to find the next person who has a grasp on it, and there's a lot of people that for years and years and years, send them all, put them on that yellow bus, let them come home, tell them sit down, do your homework, and a lot of people didn't really invest into doing the homework with their children, and now that's why a lot of people are scrambling. Because we never thought and we never saw a day like this was coming.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's why I say, a lot of times in our spiritual life reflects our personal life as well. If we are casual in our spiritual life, we're going to be casual in our personal lives. And that could be a very hurtful thing. That could be a very detrimental thing, particularly to our children and to our lives as well. So we have to learn that we are on a mission. And that mission is to complete the work. I'm going to ask, I know Sister Mangum, I know you're on the line. I'm going to ask you, Sister Mangum, why do you think, why didn't they understand that their completion of God's plan was connected to their success as a people? Why do you think they didn't see that? Trustee Mangum?
I
know you're
I
on the
hear
line.
You.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You said, why could they see that it was connected to their
right,
success?
Right. Those two things were connected, yes. The completion of the temple and their success as a people was connected. Why do you think they didn't see that?
Wait a minute.
No, well, does somebody else have an answer? Somebody want to speak?
First Lady Rogers. I would like to speak, Pastor, if I may.
Go ahead, First Lady.
I would just like to add to what Deacon Taylor has said, that sometimes we look for other people's approval, and it may have been in the temple, while they were building the temple, that they looked around and everybody was not a part or interested in or trying to assist or help, but they were doing a lot of complaining. And a lot of times when we in the church are doing something good or doing what we're supposed to do, the complaining, the naysayers, those that sit back and not laugh, but talk too much about what we're doing, then that discourages us, so we stop. So I'm inclined to believe that that may have been what was happening when they were working on the temple. Everybody wasn't helping, and then you had the grumblers that was keeping us from doing what God had already told us to do.
You're exactly right. For the lesson says that there were people who thought that it wasn't worth it. And then there were some people who were working against them, working against the folk who were working. So you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Did somebody else have something else they wanted to add to that?
Pastor Roger.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
I think the people back then were no different than the people today. When we go through good times and we have a relative amount of wealth in our lives, we sometimes forget where we get our olive oil from. When life is easy for us and we can do what we want to, those people probably were just like we are today. We tend to shy away from that which supplies us with everything we need, and that's the olive oil. That's Jesus Christ. And we are slowly moving away from that. And sometimes that makes things for us very difficult.
Yes, absolutely. Ms. Megan, did you have something you wanted to say?
No. All I'm going to say that the general intention of this vision, you know, it was designed to assure that the prophet, that the work of the building of the temple, regardless of the many enemies, you know, those that went against, out of their way against it, that the temple will be built. And it was kind of like encouragement, you know, for the people, trying to encourage the people to work.
Right. You know, exactly.
Not be lazy as our people are, you know, today. You know,
amen.
Some people work and some just lazy. They just not going to do anything.
Right.
Or do a little bit, as you said, some people just do just a little bit. Then they just, they're just satisfied with that.
For 17 years, they didn't do anything. For 17 years, they said, we're done.
Robert,
go right ahead.
I would like to just add a little bit more to what Ms. Magnum and the First Lady and our brother Joyner already said. Also, you can look at even today what great grandmama and grandmama did, what was important to them, what they thought was we need to be in a hurry about. Today, you know, that third, fourth, fifth generation is just not the same urgency.
Wow, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
I mean, I can remember,
purpose.
You know, I can remember my grandma's praising God all day long, singing something all day long, while they was cooking, while they were just sitting there drinking coffee. I mean, all day long, you don't see that no more. You don't see that no more. I mean, that's just a very small thing, you know?
Yeah, right. And those small things make a difference. Those small things make a difference. It's part of the culture. It's part of the understanding. And that is important for us to have that. Even though the prophet spoke to the people and let them know that God had used the term, he was going to use the king as a signet ring. I don't know if you gentlemen ever had I've always wanted a signet ring. A signet ring was a ring that a man wore back in the day. Back in the day, they would have you would write a letter, and then you would melt the wax, and you would take your signet ring and you would put it in that wax, and it made your imprint of your initial of your house crest or whatever your signet was, and people would know that came directly from you when they saw it. And God used the term signet ring. He was going to make them. In other words, it was, I'm giving you my seal of approval. I'm making you my signet ring so the whole world could see my handiwork through you. And they still did not move. For 17 years, they still did not move. And I come to believe that no matter what era that we're living in, no matter where we are in the time frame continuum, there will always be those who will not do anything. And we cannot let that stop the work of God. There will always be a group of folk who will sit on the stool of do nothing. There will always be folk who will not do anything completely, not even the littlest thing. But you can't let that discourage you. You got to keep moving forward because your success is connected to what God has asked us to do. And even though those who don't want to do it don't do it, we have to do it anyway because we realize that we cannot settle for mediocrity. God has promised us greater things in life. God has promised us a greater understanding of life. And when we do that, we also expand our mind. And we are able to see beyond our physical sight. And that's when we start to see the spiritual things of God. When we look beyond what we see and see the things that God's showing us, that's when we move beyond the physical realm into the spiritual realm. Because God wants to show us some things with our spiritual sight that cannot be seen with our physical sight. And God wants us to know that he has given us a guarantee, a signet, to tell us that our work will be completed. It's going to be completed. I don't care if the half the church don't do nothing. The church will be completed. I don't care if half the folk don't even come. The work will still be completed. God's work has never been thwarted by those who didn't want to. It has never stopped because of those who didn't want to. For whatever reason or not, God's work has never stopped just because a group of folk didn't want to do it. If not this generation, the next generation will do it. But God's work will be completed, whether it's by us or by somebody else. And that's what we must understand in this life, that our success is tied to doing what God has asked us to do. Well, we got a couple of minutes. Anybody else want to add something? Anybody else want to say anything? Well, we thank God for today. We were able to clear up a lot of problems. I have written so many letters, nice letters. I was not ugly. I have written so many nice letters to the Blog Talk people, and perhaps they are helping me overcome some of the difficulties that we had earlier. And I thank God for that. Thank God for all of you who are telling somebody about the Bible study. Let them know that we're on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. You can be a supporter of First Baptist. We have a Cash App. That Cash App is all capital letters, FBCHS. FBCHS, and of course with the Cash App, the dollar sign becomes before the letters. You can support First Baptist tonight. You can support us right now. Won't you be a help to the house of the Lord? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who have called in tonight. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet. We thank you, God, for allowing us to once again break the bread of life. We pray now, God, for those who are going through in our world right now, those who find themselves in a bad position. We pray for the bereaved family of God. We pray for the family that just lost their loved one. We pray for Deaconess Rainey's family. Touch them right now in a mighty way. Relieve the pressure and the hurt in their hearts, O Lord. We thank you now, God, because only you can heal a broken heart. Father, we thank you for First Baptist Church. We ask, God, that you will continue to bless that house of worship. Bless every deacon, every trustee, every minister, every choir member, every usher, every pew member in the name of Jesus. Father, you told us when we asked for in Jesus' name that you would give it to us. So in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, we're asking for your blessing for all that we say and do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all tonight. God amen. Bless y'all. Thank y'all amen. So much for tuning in.
Bless.
And we will see you next Tuesday night with Bible Study Power Hour. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Lord, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows. Showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they was left behind. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Get ready, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows, show him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but by the next time. Listen, church, they tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. Now you don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Do you believe it's gonna rain? Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but by next time.
This is what Noah told. Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the heart of man, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Children, it's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows. Show him the rainbow.